Cinéphile. Roslyn Hyams.
Hello and welcome to this month's Cinephile. Well, what a tough choice for my last Cinephile. A bunch of France-related films came out in October and we're looking forward to some really good ones in November. Let's take a look at just a few of them.
Ça tourne.
Bihalab, Madinti.
Hamza.
That's an extract from a devastating film which released in France in October and had won the Best Documentary at Cannes in May, the SACD Œil d'Or, or Golden Eye Award. It's called For Summer. It's a UK Channel 4 reporter's first-hand account as a journalist and as a Syrian citizen, as she says, who gave birth to two daughters during the bombing and siege of the city of Aleppo from 2012 to 2016. She lands up there in 2013. She films her husband, the recently qualified Dr. Hamza, who, with other doctors and medical student friends, set up a hospital. She films their daily lives. She then films herself and her baby, Summer. She says she's made the film to explain to her daughter, when she grows up, what happened and to explain why Summer's parents took the risks they did. While in Paris, Wad Al-Khatib and For Summer's co-director, Edward Watts, spoke to Eve Jackson at RFI's sister station, France 24.
I did it because I wanted to tell the story in the way as I've seen as Wad, the woman who lived that situation, and Wad, the journalist who tried to document all the death around me. This is 5 years of our life. You know, like when you live every day, waking up in the morning, expecting that this is, will be the last day. Like you've never used to this, but you will trying to just feel it that as much as it's very hard and difficult, but it's real life. And when you are like, if there's bomb around and it's not you've been killed, you feel like kind of victory that, oh, I'm still alive now. People have seen like this is a brave, but it's, I feel it's just the normal feeling of us like, oh, we're still alive and we will have another day of chance of living that.
Take two.
Now, as they say, for something completely different. Alice et le maire. Alice and the Mayor is a touching tale of politics in a big French city. It's made by Nicolas Parisset. The mayor, played by Fabrice Lucchini, looks to French and philosophy teacher Alice in her late 20s, played by Anaïs de Moustier, to help him kickstart his career. As he explains in this extract, he wants her to help him revive his capacity to come up with ideas, something that he's been able to do right from the start, but which now escapes him.
Vous connaissez mon parcours?
Je sais que vous êtes un homme politique. Vous êtes le maire de Lyon.
Je vais essayer de vous exposer ma situation. J'ai toujours eu des idées. J'avais 25, 40, 50 idées par jour. Et puis je me suis réveillé un matin, j'avais plus d'idées. J'arrive plus à penser. Comment vous vous appelez?
Alice Eman.
Bon, Alice Eman, il faut que vous me fassiez penser.
I've lost it, he tells her. And she tells him that he needs to start toning down his attitude, which has created a gulf between the political leader and the ordinary people in Lyon, the city he administers. But his right-hand woman, who had been delighted to see how Alice inspired the mayor, soon becomes wary of her influence on him. The communications team, which is under the handler's heel, find the mayor's trust in Alice positively threatening.
Son nouveau bureau craint un énorme scandale à la mairie.
Un scandale?
Il y a même une pétition qui circule.
Il faut rester modeste. Pas de mégalomanie, pas de gigantisme. Ça va les notes, ça va les notes. Je fais pas un cours sur Spinoza. Alice Eman, est-ce qu'elle prend des notes? Elle prend pas de notes.
L'influence que tu as sur lui, il faut qu'elle cesse. En fait, t'es en train de me dire qu'il doit nouveau arrêter de penser, c'est ça? Je suis désolée, mais je n'ai plus le même. Et je te remercie, Alice.
In this extract, a neutral member of the City Hall staff, played by well-known stand-up comic Nora Hamzaoui, shares the office gossip with Alice. Alice's new bigger office has made the others jealous. Parisse shows how the mayor's close entourage are in fact more ambitious than he is. and they stand to lose more than he or Alice. Ambition, a necessary evil, or just the meaning of void?
Ça tourne. Cinéphile, guest of the month.
Cinema releases in November in France are really exciting. One of them is Little Joe, directed by Jessica Hausner and co-produced by Franco-British company The Bureau. Emily Beecham plays a scientist divorcee mum and shines in her stilted, cold portrayal of Alice, another Alice. The role won her the Best Actress Palm at Cannes in May this year. Beecham plays alongside Ben Whishaw, David Wilmot and Kit Connor.
Our aim was to create a plant with a scent that makes its owner happy.
We are entering a new era here. The first mood-lifting, antidepressant, happy plant.
We've received orders from all over the world.
If I made a mistake, then it's my fault.
It seems that this has all been a bit much for you.
He frightens me.
You're a good mother. But which of your children will you choose?
Good night, Little Joe.
I met her just recently at the Dinard Film Festival in France. Emily Beecham, thank you very much for speaking to us today. Why did you decide to take on the role? It's a very striking film, it visually. It's not run-of-the-mill in any way.
Bertrand Fèvre, the producer, one of the producers, I met him during Daphne's from the same film company, and he called me about this project, and he said Ben Whishaw was attached, and so was Kerry Fox, and it was directed by somebody called Jessica Hausner, and I had seen her film Lords, which I thought was really brilliant, and then he described the role to me and sent me the script, so I read that, obviously, and then I met Jessica. We read a few scenes and discussed the character and the themes that she wanted to talk about, like a single mother balancing her work and her personal life and the sacrifices that you make with your to your personal life. And also genetic engineering. And she showed me the aesthetic of the film, which was really unusual, very neon and really unusual look. So I was really, really intrigued. All of that together sounded really, really fascinating. And also Alice's journey. She and the character has this mad journey, a sort of labyrinth of confusion and paranoia, and then balance with actually the plant actually affecting people's brains, or does it? So it's quite clever.
Alice does journey. She goes from point A to point Z during the film, but it's all extremely contained. It's not your usual acting style.
No, it's not at all. And I hadn't... Jessica's amazing. She knows exactly what she wants, and it was very... she was very, very, very specific. So every shot, every scene, every take was very well choreographed, and we did about 20 takes each, at least. And it was balanced with the timing of the when the camera arrives, when the zoom arrives, when the focus pulls on what line, and then an extra walking past on the right beat, and then our pause in a right beat, and then eye contact on the right beat, and then with the inflection of the line, with the right sort of right intention. And sometimes Jessica wanted me to deliver it in a very almost verging on artificial, kind of deliberately artificial. So I'd be talking to Joe like in a really high inflection, which was obviously not something I naturally do. And watching it, it's sort of, I found it quite, at sometimes a bit disconcerting to watch, but it is obviously, it's very stylized. And that's the whole point. I think you get pulled in and out of the reality of it. And then you are aware that you're watching it because it's a very deliberate setup. And sometimes, especially in the house that they live in, it almost looks like this sort of picture, like a picture book or like a doll's house, or it's like you're looking in on this artificial set with all these artificial neon colors and my artificial bowl haircut with this really bright orange. So it was really unusual, but I feel like she's sort of painting this picture, and it was really fun to be a part of that.
Did the strangeness of the film actually affect you personally?
Well, because we're always trying to gauge the story and find out where we were, even Jessica was feeling it out and discussing it. So Ben and I would joke that you couldn't really prepare it, because you'd get onto set and then it would be, she would want something totally which you never predicted. to be played in this other way, and which was really fun and made us giggle a lot. And it was fun playing characters who were constantly trying to having this exchange of power struggles and a little bit of status struggles between each other. And there's so much subtext between all their conversations and awkwardness and self-consciousness and insecurities. And so it was quite a lot of fun.
Has this film changed your perspective on the near future?
Definitely with the genetic engineering, or the research we had to do, that was really fascinating. And with the plants, learning about plants and how they adapt and how they survive is really fascinating. And
did you start looking differently at the plants where you live?
Yes, definitely. I've always liked plants, but I never had a massive interest in them. But now I think they're really extraordinary, and they may outlive us. Who knows? And they're already adapting to the climate change, and it is really fascinating how they survive. And you never really think about that. I mean, if plants. Petals have this grid pattern in them, which is not visible to the human eye, but obviously bees see it, and it attracts them. So they have all these aggressive colours and shapes, and they're all competing to stay alive. So who knows how our relationship will change with plants. And I hear fungi is already adapting, and our immune systems have adapted over time to so that we don't get poisoned by plants. And if they are changing, we're going to have to respect plants. Anyway, plants are clever.
As we see in film Little Joe. The projects that you're working on now, do they have anything to do with plants?
Nothing to do with plants. I just finished something which was in the set in the future. That is called Outside the Wire, and that is about using AI robots in warfare and the lead protagonist in it is actually an AI himself, and he's questioning whether it's the right thing to do. And also that touches on lots of themes and using drones and how that can develop. It's about insurgents, pro-Ukrainian, pro-Russia insurgents groups, and it's very topical. And then the other project I'm doing right now is nothing at all to do with plants, and it's a remake of Cruella. So there are some devious Dalmatians in it. Some really naughty Dalmatians. But I'm really excited because, well, I grew up with a Dalmatian myself. My dog wouldn't listen to anything.
We're on the other side of the channel here in France, from Britain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's your take on Brexit?
I think all politics is really complicated and a little bit disturbing right now. I was watching a really amazing documentary called The Great Hack the other day, which is about Cambridge Analytica and being employed to help the Brexit campaign as well as the Trump campaign. It seems very wrong to me to play on people's psychologies.
Thank you very much, Emily Beecham, for speaking to us today, and all the very best for Little Joe's release and all your other projects. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Cinephile. Roslyn Hyams.
L'Age Lise Le Miserable releases in France in October. Films about volatile suburbs, turbulent youth and baddie cops are often popular. L'Age Lise Le Miserable co-won the jury prize at Cannes in May with the Brazilian movie Bacurau. It's Lee's first full-length feature and well worth the 1 hour 43 minutes spent watching it. Lee creates tension from start to finish with top actors Damien Bonnard and Alexis Manenti. In this extract, the baddie cop Manenti picks on some girls waiting for a bus, accusing them of smoking dope, and smashing one girl's phone because she films him picking on them.
Contrôle de police. Vous faites quoi là?
On attend le bus.
Vous attendez le bus là? Ça sent le shit ça.
Eh, c'est bon, Sumi.
Ça va, je gère.
Je vous filme, vous avez pas le droit de faire ça.
Arrête de filmer.
Non.
T'es contente là?
It seems to be a minor incident, but it marks one of the early stages in the crescendo of horror in Les Misérables. L'Age Lise Les Misérables is out on the 20th of November.
Ça tourne.
J'ai l'honneur de vous présenter Monsieur Émile Zola.
Quelqu'un doit exposer toute l'histoire. En tant qu'officier d'actif, je ne peux rien écrire là-dessus.
Vous non, mais moi si.
Demandez Laurent, demandez.
J'accuse le général Mercier de s'être rendu complice d'une des plus grandes iniquités du siècle. J'accuse le général Billon d'avoir eu les preuves de l'innocence de Dreyfus et de les avoir étouffées.
J'accuse les experts en écriture d'avoir fait des rapports frauduleux.
And that's from the latest Roman Polanski film, An Officer and a Spy. It's a scene where the writer, Emil Zola, talks about how he can speak out about the Dreyfus affair, whereas a military officer cannot. As French children learn in their history classes, Zola went on to write his article J'accuse in the newspaper L'Aurore, where he accused military officers of falsifying the evidence against Alfred Dreyfus, a captain who'd been stripped of his rank and sent to jail on Devil's Island in French Guiana to rot. Polanski takes a different approach to the Dreyfus affair. Dreyfus was the only Jewish officer in the French army right at the end of the 19th century. And it seems he was an obvious scapegoat when the French military was trying to root out who was spying for the French enemy, Germany. Polanski's hero is not Dreyfus, played by Louis Garrel, but the French officer Picard, who discovers the real culprit who's been selling these military secrets. Picard, played by Jean Dujardin, takes on the entire French military establishment.
Ça tourne.
And a swift head-up for Adults in the Room, the latest Costa Gavras film. It's based on a book of the same name by the former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis, and it's about the 2015 Greek bailout. Here's an extract from the film, which tells Varoufakis' own account of what went on at the European Union.
They'll do all they can to crush you and the hope you represent.
I'm asking not for an erasure of our enormous debt, but for its restructuring.
I'm sure we're going to do good work.
Europe set up a rescue plan to save Greece.
The rescue plan was to save the German and French banks. Their colossal debt was transferred onto the Greek people.
He's the one that should be kicked out. We need a Yannick.
Sign the MOU or exit the Europe.
You are wasting our time!
If you were me, would you sign this MOU?
Banks shut. No more money.
Well, as the Beatles say, money can't buy me love.
RFI's Elisabeth Le Quéré met Costa Gavras earlier this year, and he told her the nub of his upcoming movie.
Le pouvoir de l'argent.
What interests me today is the power of money. Money has become a sort of religion in our society. I think it's the worst religion there can be, because it isolates people. It creates a situation of everyone for themselves, and that's the worst thing that can happen to a society.
That's Costa Gavras. His film, Adults in a Room, comes out in France on November the 6th.
On est pas bien, là? Hein?
Well, thank you very much for listening. It's goodbye from me, Roslyn Hyams. And as Bugs Bunny or Porky the Pig, those famous and lovable characters of the Looney Tunes fame, might say...
That's all, folks.